Did you ever see the show Blossom when you were a kid? Probably reruns. Do you remember that show now?
The only reason I know Blossom is because of Big Bang Theory.
Yes. Okay. Good. So you got away. Okay. So Blossom, before she was on Big Bang, there was an NBC show that aired. It was in the 90s, and there was this teenage girl, and the character's name was Blossom. And mm-hmm. so Mayim, is it Bialik? Bialik, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. Played her. And then, like you said, she was Amy Fowler on The Big Bang Theory. So anyway, anytime Blossom was on and the subject matter of the show was going to get, you know, a little bit more serious, NBC would have Mayim do this voiceover before the show aired. No, I'm serious. I'm not making this up. So she would say, tonight on a very special Blossom.
Oh.
And that's why you may hear Gen Xers sometimes say, like, oh, it's a very special Blossom. Like, that's what the illusion is. So for parents, it was a code that, like, Blossom was going to do some adult stuff that maybe you didn't want to really deal with your kids that night. You know, like, there was an episode where Blossom found marijuana on the school bus.
Oh, man.
And she had to decide what to do about it. Or, like, there was another one. There was one where she wondered if it was ethical to flirt with the guy at the DMV so she could get her license, which in light of the Me Too movement, hello, no. So kids would hear, tonight on a very special Blossom, and they'd think, okay, this show's going to be good tonight. I'm going to see some good stuff. So today on a very special Dying to Ask.
Oh, no. What adult subjects are we going to talk about today?
We're going to be spilling a few secrets on this show. I don't know about you, but I have found, especially in the last couple of months, I've been getting a lot of questions from people. Emails, people reaching out on social media, a lot of DMs, people wanting to do a podcast. Mm-hmm. So they've seen us doing it. Obviously, what we're doing is really easy.
Wildly successful.
Successful. So I've been getting like tons of questions. And the thing they keep asking is, you know, like, how'd you guys end up being partners? How easy is it to put out a podcast? Not at all. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they really want to know, like, how do I do it? Because podcasting, like, we got into this, you and I as partners, almost 2 years ago. And in that time, podcasting has exploded.
Yeah.
As Jeff and I said it would, by the way, anyone who's listening. But it's really hot now. And people with relatively little experience are getting into it. And some of them have been really successful. So today we're going to teach you about podcasts. And then, because it's a very special Dying to Ask,
dun, dun, dun.
A bombshell moment.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. This is a big show. And because it's a big show, we're going commercial-free today. You good with that?
Brought to you by us.
Brought to you by us. Here's the backstory of how this podcast gets put together, and then a bombshell in this week's Dying to Ask. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. I write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast. My husband has this theory that when the guys in the locker room at the gym are talking about something, like a while back it was house flipping. As soon as they start talking about it, you should get out of it. Because it means it's like hit its height.
That's funny.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's probably time to get out because this thing's about to die. You know, like the recession is coming. And I've been wondering lately, like, is podcasting kind of like that? Because I feel like everywhere I go, people, you know, if they bring up the show, they always want to ask about, you know, like, how do you make those donuts? And how do you guys do it? And really, a lot of times it's because they're kind of thinking about doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you listen to a really great podcast, it feels kind of effortless. It's
right.
Like you're just listening to a really great conversation,
yeah.
And you're learning, and it all seems really smooth, and hopefully it plays really well, so the quality is really good. Okay, spoiler alert, people. It is hard work sometimes. It's fun, but like you listen to those amazing podcasts on NPR, they have staffs like you would not believe handling very minute details and producing incredible content, which is totally what inspired us to do all the same things with two people.
You're right. The thing that I think of is we were in a meeting one time and you were talking about during your Olympic coverage, you were there like doing your thing and you looked over and there's like a room full of like people.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're all on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's like,
No, it's true. I was listening to NBC produce this podcast at the last Olympics and it was really good. But I accidentally saw their setup. Mm-hmm. And I saw their setup while I was producing our Olympic podcast pretty much by myself, right, with like a roll of duct tape, a microphone, and a guy had talked into sitting with me for like 12 minutes.
Right.
But here's the thing. Good content is good content. Mm-hmm. And so you can have those great podcasts that have these amazing, huge staffs and a big budget. Or you can have a guy who's recording on an iPhone, a la the Rambling Runner, who was one of our guests, Matt Chittum, whose day job is working in a college, who also produce compelling content and are able to get this message out. And what's fascinating about it is that that platform that really, if you think about it, anyone could have, can launch a lot of really great ideas or businesses, products, or sometimes it just gives people a place to build a community.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So that's, you know, the reality of podcasting these days. So a lot of you have been asking me questions about how we actually started putting this together. So just for background, at KCRA, which is where we're based in Sacramento, we work for Hearst Television, which has about 30 stations. And we are the first and only podcast at KCRA.
Yay.
Even more exciting, we were the first podcast with Hearst Television. So when we decided we wanted to do a podcast and get into another part of broadcasting or, you know, add it on to our responsibilities, basically we had to pitch it. And so we had to pitch it in an environment where nobody was doing it.
Yeah.
Which is a weird kind of thing. So for us, that was kind of foreign territory.
And it's a pretty different medium. It's, I mean, stripped down, it's essentially radio, right?
It is news talk radio, friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but don't tell people that because they think it's all brand new. It's not.
Yeah. It's just, it's radio on demand.
Exactly.
But like coming from our background of like visual medium, like so much of what we do is based on visuals. And you don't necessarily have to do that in a podcast. And
you
so
don't. Although
it's a different world.
You have like wired this room up like, you know, like a quickie mart at 11 o'clock at night. Like you've got this thing surrounded in case anybody tries to get out. But you're right. At the heart of it, it's really about the conversation and about the content. So let me lay a few stats on you because from the last time that I did my little research project to present it to the people who have doors on their offices at the big three, things have really changed in the world of podcasting. So if you're thinking, I want to start a podcast, let me tell you a few things. There are 700,000 active podcasts, meaning people are actually still letting them, you know,
doing
get
more
updated.
Content. Yeah.
Yeah. 700,000 podcasts around the world. There are 29 million podcast episodes.
Wow.
That's a lot, right?
Yeah.
So Apple has some stats that they released just in the last year. And the last time they had tracked it, the number was at 550,000, right?
Dang.
So that's like around the time we came into it with Dying to Ask. Yeah. So we contributed to the boom, which is crazy. So the numbers are skyrocketing. So it is a medium that is growing, which in all media is not necessarily a given. So that's exciting, right?
Yeah.
Here's some other interesting stats about podcasts. And because you guys are listening, these are you. I'm telling you about yourself. So let me tell you about yourself. 7 out of 10 Americans know what a podcast is.
Who are those three?
I don't know. Maybe my mom.
Yeah.
Definitely my mom. half of America has now listened to a podcast. Most of us, this one I found really interesting, most of us listen to a podcast on our smartphones. Really, I shouldn't have found that surprising, I guess.
Yeah.
But most of the time, the experience is coming through a smartphone, which tells you they are listening.
Yeah.
They're not watching it necessarily. All right, here's some interesting stuff about where you guys are listening. 49% of you are at home when you have that podcast on. So you're doing laundry, you're walking around the house, doing whatever. 22% of you are driving. It's something you're listening to on your commute.
That's me.
11% of you are at work. Maybe it's on in the background while you're doing stuff. 4% of you are on public transportation. 3% of you are doing who knows what.
Hmm.
And so I think home also would probably include people who are working out, doing other stuff.
Right.
I do all of those, so I'm the unicorn. But here's the most interesting stat about podcasts that I found. And this is the one that if you're thinking, I want to get into the podcasting game, this is the one you need to know. Because there is no other type of media right now that I think can say this. 8 out of 10 people listening to a podcast listen to the entire thing. And we have seen that happen with Dying to Ask.
It's true.
It's called retention. So there is nothing, and I'll put TV news into that too, where you sit attentively and you get 80% of the product.
Right.
There really isn't.
Yeah.
So that's what's interesting. And so that tells you, you podcast listeners are so crazy special. Because number one, we know you're smart. You want to learn. you want to be entertained, and most of the time you're doing something else while you're listening to us doing the content. So mm-hmm. you're great multitaskers, and that's why we all get along so well.
Right.
All right, so let's say at this point we have not talked you out of doing a podcast, because Jeff's already told you it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Let's say we haven't talked you out of it. Here's some things that you need to think about. And this is what, when people email me, this is where I start the conversation with
Right.
them. So the first thing is hosting. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be the host.
Yep.
So you have to decide, are you going to do that podcast, it's all you, or are you going to have a co-host? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that?
It depends on who you are. Like, I've listened to both, and they each have their merit. I think I always prefer the multiple host format, just mm-hmm. because there's more variety. The ones that I listen to where it's one person, you really, the best way I can think to describe it is you get to know them really well.
Yeah.
And it's almost one of those things where, like, you know them so well that there's little things that they do that just really annoy you after a
yes.
while. Yeah. And yeah. so, like, those things just kind of, it's like, oh, he's telling this story again. Okay. All right. Well, we've heard this one a couple times.
There are some people, though, who are great on their own. You know,
yeah.
I'm thinking of, I've mentioned her before, but Farnoosh Torabi at the So Money mm-hmm. podcast. She's, you know, 950 episodes. And she does most of it on her own because she's a multitasking. She's got yeah. a lot going on. Mm-hmm. But she does bring in people to be an occasional co-host because, truthfully, it's more fun to spar with someone.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
and you
that's
get different opinions
thing.
And it's yeah. more well-rounded, in my
more
opinion.
Well-rounded. Yeah. So people have said, like, oh, you and Jeff have such great chemistry, which is a big buzzy word in broadcasting.
Right.
You know, like, there are people who make a lot of money to try to figure out if people have chemistry. Let me tell you something. I can put two people in a room and I can tell you in 2 minutes if they are going to get along or not. You
yeah.
just do or you don't.
Right.
Like, people get you or they don't get you. You don't usually develop chemistry with somebody 4 years in.
Yeah.
You just learn how to fake it really well. You know? But chemistry is a really kind of funny thing.
Yeah.
And probably if people had looked at both of us on paper, I don't know what they would have said. Those two should host a podcast.
Right.
You know?
I mean, especially the guy who, like, I around here, I don't talk to people. Like,
no. That's what threw people. They're like, Jeff doesn't talk.
Yeah. I don't. Like, I just, yeah. I'm not initially an outgoing person. Like, I've had coworkers who thought that I disliked them because
did
I didn't
you?
Talk to them.
Some of them
and I'm,
didn't.
Well,
didn't
no, listen. Like there was one in particular at my old station. He's like, man, I went like the first 6 months thinking you hated me. I'm like, no, I'm just really quiet. Sorry.
Just focus. I'm just doing my job. So the backstory and how we ended up co-hosting this together was, and I don't know if you even remember this, but we got assigned to go work on a tech story together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was around that time I was kind of looking for my new thing here. I needed something else to do.
Yeah.
And so I ended up going and shooting a tech story with you, and I was with another producer, Ellie. And so Ellie and I were nonstop, like one just at each other in a really nice way.
Mm-hmm.
We had a really good time working together. And you were driving, and I just looked at you. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I feel so, you're exhausted listening to us, I can tell. But then all of a sudden you kind of start joining in and you had that kind of, you jumped into the timing like nothing had happened. And then like 2 days later, you know, I knew I was looking for somebody because I'd already kind of been given the green light. Like, is there a photographer? Because I was looking for somebody who would be like a real partner in putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is there anybody like you think would be good at doing it? And nobody really was listening to podcasts. And so I asked you, are you into podcasting at all? And you said you had listened to a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's all I needed. That's the true story of how I requested that you work on it. Like,
funny.
I think Jeff would be good. He has an interest in podcasts. I left out the rest of it that it was just that you had said that you had listened to a podcast.
Yeah.
And that's the true story of, like, how I, like, pushed for you to kind of try. But what I loved about working with you, and this is important for you to remember if you're going to start a project like this with someone, you need a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And in television, the thing I've learned from my 7,000 years of working on local TV news is that a partnership between a photographer, a reporter, a producer, an anchor, if it is not 50-50, it's not a good partnership.
Yeah.
And if one person is constantly telling the other one what to do or has any kind of like idea that one person is more valuable than the other, it doesn't work.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about? You're not in your head.
100%. Yeah.
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 Because
yeah.
you got 17 cameras, people who are watching this can figure that out.
But
like, it's rare.
Yeah.
It's really rare because we all have egos.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Some
yep.
of them are big too.
Uh-huh.
And so if you can go into something like this, a creative outlet with someone, and you can do a real partnership where people can say, I don't like this. Mm-hmm. How about this? And you can really go back and forth.
Yeah.
And you can know which one to push and which one to not. Like if one person, and I think marriage is like this too. Not that I should be giving marriage advice right now. But if you can say, look, this person cares more about that than I do, mm-hmm. then let it go.
Yeah.
And you know what? Anytime I've done that with you, it's always been so much better because you had a vision and I didn't have that big vision. So that's my first advice when you talk about having a host or not having a host or co-host is pick your partner carefully.
Yeah, for sure.
Although, in retrospect, I just picked the guy who would listen to a podcast. But look how well it turned out. And then the way you kind of became a host part of it was we had talked about you being mic'd up so you could kind of jump in. But then I'm like, God, he's so smart. And he's fun. And then it just kind of became fun because we are very different. Mm-hmm. But I think at the core, we're actually quite similar.
I remember, do you remember the very first one that we recorded? I wasn't on mic for it.
You weren't?
It was with, the first one we recorded was with Jen Jolly. Mm-hmm. And it was just the two of you on that tiny little table that was like, I don't know, like 10 inches wide or something.
Yeah, it was like a demo thing we did.
Yeah, and it was kind of like a test run and like, is this going to work? And like, I sat in the corner with my timer and like was making sure like we're keeping things timed out, but like wasn't really involved at all, except for you guys kept kind of like, Bringing me in a little bit. I'm like, I can't say anything. I'm not mic'd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just funny. You kind of, I think as time goes on, you kind of figure those things out. So I know a lot of people will start podcasts with a really close friend. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a really good way to kill a friendship. Right. Because you might have great chemistry when you're like hanging out mm-hmm. in, you know, back of a restaurant. It's a little bit different when you go before a mic. So practice, mm-hmm. like you said, like do some demos and practice. Okay, let's get to the technical stuff because this is your expertise. How are you going to produce your podcast? The good news for people is that since we started, now you do a, like a big setup because you're fancy, but not everybody's fancy or knows how to mm-hmm. like plug the doodad into the doohickey and all that good stuff. The good news for you is that people have now created something that I told you a year and a half ago we should have created, and that is platforms that are plug and play.
Yeah.
So there are a number of them. Just Google. I'm not going to start naming them, but just Google. And literally, you record your voice, you drop the file in, and they kind of do everything. Now, in exchange, they're also going to take a cut of your ads if you have ad revenues on it. And in some cases, they might actually own your content. So that's important to look into.
Yeah.
But there are some very simple ways to get into it. People always want to know, like, how much does it cost to get into podcasting?
Yeah.
When we started, we had two microphones, each one of them cost $100. I bought them at Best Buy and Amazon. And we used my laptop, and then we cobbled together some station gear.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is, you don't have to spend a ton of money to at least get your feet wet in this field.
Yeah, I have a buddy who does a podcast completely on his iPhone. He literally just sits there and talks into his iPhone, and the subscriber he uses like drops in the ad that he's already pre-recorded, and it's as easy as that. All you need is an iPhone.
Yeah.
Or a smartphone, technically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, super, you can actually do it that way.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that you can get all this information on Google.
Yep.
I promise you, you can Google the heck out of this field. There have been so many ads or articles that have been written about this. You can learn a ton. And the other thing is, podcasters are some of the nicest people in media right now and in that digital space. I have emailed or messaged a number of podcasters that I listen to, some of them like with really huge ratings, and they have always responded.
Yeah.
Nobody has not responded. And I've asked them gear questions. I messaged the producer for Lance Armstrong's big Tour de France podcast, and I asked if I could see the behind the scenes of the way they had the thing set up, and it showed up in Instagram stories a couple days later.
Nice.
It was fascinating. So people, you'll be surprised. People are really generous with information, which I love. And that's not true of all media.
Yeah. And I feel like most people who are doing podcasts are primarily pushing them on social media, which means they're very active on social media.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's a great transition to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Once you've created your podcast, if we haven't talked you out of it yet, how are you going to get people to listen to it?
Yeah.
So we're talking about audience now. Yep. And there is nothing more discouraging than birthing the baby and then nobody wants to look at it. Mm-hmm. Right. And let me tell you, I can say that because we were there.
Right.
It's not easy.
It's a slow roll.
It is a slow roll. And people told us that.
Yeah.
They told us that. And they said it can take 20 episodes, which is a lot of time.
Yep.
it can take that for it to click. But once it clicks, then people are really good about sharing the word. So you got to be in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. You have to be consistent. You've got to have a publishing schedule that you keep to, so that it's really dependable. It's as dependable as the morning news.
Right.
You turn on the TV at a certain time and it's going to be there. So that's really important. And then the other thing we had talked about was, you know, like, who's your audience? Mm-hmm. And we actually kind of struggled with that a little bit, which is odd considering what we do for a living.
Right.
You know?
Well, yes, no, but what we do for a living, the audience is almost everybody, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so trying to kind of figure out, well, what's our exact demographic?
You all love us.
Right, right. What's our specific demographic? Like, who's listening and what are their wants and needs, you know?
Yes.
That kind of goes back to the episode that we did with Rachel Hollis on, like, talking about how did she build their podcast empire that they have.
And she really, do you remember when she like totally nailed me on the carpet about that? Which in retrospect, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, right.
To have like the number one motivational speaker like call you out is kind of fun. But she even said that. She's like, you need to serve your listener.
Yeah.
Which sounded a little hooky to me, truthfully. I'm like, oh, yes.
Right.
But you know what? She's right.
Yeah.
What do they want to listen to? Mm-hmm. What do I want to listen to? And my barometer in media has always been, am I bored?
Right.
Which, with my attention span, happens.
So after a minute 20, something clicks.
I know, exactly. I know. So you've got to like figure out, who am I doing this for? And the answer cannot be yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
It just can't. You have got to know who it is that's listening. And then you have to listen to them, which is where it comes back to the interacting. And if people say, and you know if they liked an episode or not, because you get stats on it. Mm-hmm. And you, even if you think you did the greatest episode, you found it so interesting, if they don't click on it, then maybe it wasn't what that audience. Well, it definitely wasn't what that audience was. So I think you gotta like think about that. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else to say on that topic, or should I move on?
I think we're good.
Okay, we're good. All right. So we move on. So if we still haven't talked you out of this right now, let's talk about what might happen.
Yeah.
So what might happen if you are, say, just the average person who has? Let me try to think of a good example. Let's say you are you're into fashion. Let's say you're a fashion influencer and you want to do a fashion podcast and you want to invite designers to be on your show, and it's great. What might happen is you might create this whole new world where you have access to people and you get to pick their brain, which is at the heart of it, what I love about this. Mm-hmm. I have come up with people that I have read articles about or I've seen on TV, and I've sent them a blind email. And 4 days later, we're talking to them. That's so cool. I mean, like, think of the people that we've gotten to talk to and ask them crazy questions. And, and in addition to just the actual stuff that you guys hear on the podcast, we've gotten to kind of hang out a little bit when we're not recording. And those have been some of the most special moments.
Yeah.
You know, so you can create this world for yourself where you get access to people and their thoughts and their passions and their knowledge.
Yep.
And that is so cool. And that's what I've loved being a journalist all these years, is that front row seat to a life that isn't yours.
Yeah.
You know?
And the great thing about this medium is everyone gets to see that. Like, as journalists, we get to see the whole picture, but we can't put the whole picture in a minute 20 package. We're trying to just get to the heart of what we're talking about. Right.
Package, for people who aren't familiar with TV lingo, is the TV story that you see on TV.
Exactly.
So it's the reporter and, you know, the notebook to you and all that junk, you know?
Yeah. But in this, it's the whole conversation's there. We're not taking things out. We're not like just selecting, well, this is what we're talking about, so we're going to have this bite. Like it's everything.
It's everything.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And they hear... They hear you sometimes lose your train of thought, and they hear us laugh.
Right.
And the thing that people most comment on, you know, on our reviews is you laughing. Like, people love your laugh. You should, like, record that or something. People are totally into it.
That's funny.
It is funny, but it's kind of charming at the same time. So the best case is you create this. Mm-hmm. Will you necessarily have tons and tons of followers? I don't know. Maybe.
Every podcast started at nothing.
That's wow. Profound. Yeah.
I was thinking about this because all the podcasts that I listen to, they talk about being like, oh, like one of the guys, he's like, oh, it's the little podcast that could, but he's got like thousands and thousands of listeners.
Huh.
But he started at nothing.
That's like, so true.
Everyone started at nothing.
And we did too.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little humble, not so humble brag. In a year, it's gone really well.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that of all the projects I've done over the years, this has been one of the hardest. Mm-hmm. And I've worked harder to make this successful than anything else because it was completely foreign. Because while I'm good at putting together content, I am horrible at marketing something.
Promoting content is a totally different world.
Asking you guys to listen to me makes my skin crawl. Please listen to me. Please click on this. Could you share this? It is so against my nature to ask people to do something
right?
for me.
Yeah.
Unless you're like my kid, in which case it's not against my nature at all. But that part of it was really hard for me. But I've learned a lot through doing it.
Yeah.
So there is that. You can learn some really great skills. And there are some people who will go into it with far less experience than we have, and they're going to be really successful. And that's really cool. I love that people can do that.
Yep.
And that's the beauty of the digital space, for sure.
Yep.
Now, what can go bad? Well, things can go south really quickly,
mm-hmm.
which brings me to you.
Yeah.
And here's the bombshell.
Are we doing a drum roll?
No, I want a cocktails when I
want. Oh, that's funny.
Go ahead.
So this will be my last episode. So yeah, it's a bummer. I got offered a new job somewhere else. So I'll be leaving KCRA and thereby leaving the podcast, which is the hardest part about all this. Like overall, it's going to be a great move for me and for my family and for the long term, it's going to be great. Short term, it's like I'm going to be missing doing this. Like I've loved my career in TV news, but it's time for me to move on, I think.
Just ready. Are you able to say what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm going to be working with the state. I will be doing this. I think half of our listeners will understand if I put it in this sense. I will be doing remote multicam live streams for.
Oh, God, it makes my head hurt.
Hearings.
What does that even mean?
So basically, California has a law where. Anytime a congressperson wants to have like a meeting in their district or something like that, it has to be recorded and captioned within 24 hours and recorded on the internet and captioned within 24 hours.
Why?
It's a law.
So just to make sure everybody has the opportunity.
Yeah, everyone has the opportunity to know what happened in that meeting, basically.
Okay.
And so their solution to that is to live stream it with multiple cameras and be live editing it. And then caption it and archive it. And that way that law has been fulfilled, basically.
Huh. Yeah. So this is like a podcast without the fun.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding you.
It depends on your definition of fun. Like if you're like a political junkie, then
you love it.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. Producer Jeff's going to take you on quite a ride.
We're going to be doing so much C-SPAN.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. That is funny. So you're going to be traveling around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So everything that happens in the Capitol building is all taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
There's a different department that does all that. We are the remote crew, basically, where anytime it's in someone's district, we travel to that district, set up all the equipment, get everything going, record everything, cut everything, all that.
Huh.
So there'll be a fair amount of travel, but nothing like it's usually like a day or two at a time.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you'll be going all over the state of California?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's cool. You'll get to see some interesting places.
Yeah, a lot of city halls. And
a lot of city halls.
Probably hotel ballrooms.
And who doesn't love meetings? I mean, it's like the number one thing people say. Yeah. I wish I could go to more meetings. Dream come true.
Right? I'm just really excited for an opportunity to learn so much more.
Yeah.
Because this is technically, the job description is IT. Which I know like a little bit about, but there's so much more of that world that
if
I would love to learn.
If you're his new boss, he knows a lot about it. Lots of IT
like,
stuff.
The video stuff I've got down, like that's not gonna be a problem, but like I want to learn about like network management and all that stuff. I'm such a nerd.
Good for you. Well, and that, you know, that part of it doesn't surprise me. And that's when I say that, like, you know, we're really different. Well, in some ways we are, but the thing that you and I share, and this is probably why we clicked real quickly, is we both love to learn.
Yeah.
And we like to learn new things and we like to do hard things.
Yeah.
And this has been really hard, but also really fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Really, really fun. So I'm really happy for you.
Yeah.
Devastated for myself. Don't get me wrong. Like when I say my world was turned upside down, my world was turned upside down.
Yeah.
However, I am really genuinely happy for you. And I have loved every minute of working with you and collaborating with you and creating with you something that I'm really proud of. Like of everything I've worked on here, this podcast for our millions of listeners is something I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And in a year, We've been able to do some really cool things with it. So like you said, everybody starts at ground zero. We certainly did.
Yeah.
But we are in, at least on Apple iTunes, the most competitive category, which is the news and politics category, I think, or news and something category.
Yeah.
And our shows have routinely made it up to like number 120, which doesn't sound big until you find out there are tens of thousands of shows in there.
Yeah.
So I am extraordinarily proud of that.
And I feel like the majority of the professionally produced podcasts are going to be in that category.
Yes. And so it's kind of cool when all of a sudden an NPR podcast pops up before or after us.
Right.
And I only hope that those hosts are going, who are those two people? Why in the logo is she running in heels from the guy with the camera? I can only hope they've clicked to try to figure out what the heck is going on with that logo and what are they dying to ask.
Right.
So that I'm really proud of that.
Yeah.
And we were number one in Kuwait.
Yep.
That was a random but super appreciated thing.
We have dozens of listeners in Spain, I found
Love
out recently.
Love the Spaniards.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Which is really great. Yeah. So we've done really good work. And yes, the podcast will go on, a la Titanic. Everything goes on. but we are going to be doing what we call in the business reimagining a few things.
Yeah.
Some people have asked to audition for your spot. I'm not sure what that's going to entail.
There's got to be at least a panel, right?
Like, you think so?
A panel of judges. And be like,
do you think I could do it like The Voice? What if
some chair turns?
Like, or what about like Survivor?
Yeah.
I think I should have them like fight it to the death. These are big shoes they're filling.
Please bring your torch. I need to extinguish it.
And your
it.
Flannel, because he's got a real wide wardrobe of flannel.
I had to go back to school shopping and buy a bunch of khakis and an appropriate office attire the other day.
Oh my God, you have to buy grown-up shoes?
I know. I can't wear my Toms anymore.
No. Jeff, for people, I mean, why would you ever know what kind of shoes he wears? But he wears these like cotton Toms.
They're so gnarly.
Flat-soled shoes that I've never
so
actually asked him about. There's nothing comfortable about them.
Oh, they're so comfortable.
No, you need some arch support.
They're basically
slippers.
You got
a big boy job now. They are slippers. You don't get to wear slippers on the road when you're traveling this job.
Too bad.
But anyway, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
I hope you'll at least listen once in a while.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I'm already subscribed, so.
Well, and you know, you can be one of those like 7% of the people who are like commuting.
Right? There we go.
And you can check it out then.
Yep.
Any Perfect. Final words? Anything you're dying to ask?
I don't think so.
You're good?
Yeah.
You've covered it all. All right, you want to wrap up one last show?
Sure. How do you want to wrap it up?
It's up to you. You're producer Jeff.
Oh, man.
Like for another
I'm not
30
prepared
seconds
for this.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. This is where we do our Instagram plugs.
Yes. Exactly.
Currently I'm at producer Jeff, but.
Yeah, what's going to happen with that?
I'm probably just going to shut it down.
Wow, that didn't take long.
I mean, I only like really retweeted the podcast anyway. So you can find me on Facebook if you really wanted to.
Search
for my name.
I don't think people actually know your last name though.
Mayfield.
You're kind of a persona I created.
Yeah. Or you can like my still photography account, my side business there.
And what is that?
Jeffrey Mayfield Photography.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. A thing I didn't know about. You've
anyway.
Been hiding this from me. Okay, well,
but
that's
yeah.
really great. Good.
Yeah, so that's where you can keep up with me in the long term, I guess.
All right, great. So you'll be able to continue following the show. Sans producer Jeff.
Yep.
On Instagram at Dying to Ask Podcast, or you can keep up with me at Run, Read, Sip. DM me. You want to co-host with me? Maybe I should have some listener co-hosts for a while. That could be kind of fun.
I'm telling you, you should do this like Kelly and Ryan. Whenever there's like a host that leaves like that show,
yeah,
it's like the guest host for like 3 months until they figure out.
They always get like Dylan McDermott. Do you think I could get him?
Probably.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. We can get Ryan Seacrest to fill in, right?
Probably.
he's everywhere.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for everything you've done. I have truly enjoyed working
thank
with you.
Thank you. I have likewise.
Yeah. Well, I'd say goodbye, but I'm not saying goodbye because I have a feeling we'll stay in touch. And thanks for listening to Dying to Ask. And if you do start that podcast, even after all the horrible stuff we told you today, make sure you let us know about it. I am happy to share it out for you.